Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I know you're going to recognize the name. It's called Everest, but it's more than just Mount Everest. It's the Everest Principle, how to achieve the summit of your life. And my guest today is Dr. Stephen Brewer, and I want to welcome him to the show. Dr. Brewer.
Hi, how are you? Well, I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you. Now, when I got your book, it was just so fascinating to me because I've had guests on that have climbed Mount Everest and have gone through various experiences. But there's a whole different perspective that you are using relative to the Everest Principle, and it has to do with health. I want my audience to know about you. You come from the Midwest, and you began your professional career as a physician in a small town, moving later to Cincinnati, and you've been especially dealing with family practice. But then you decided you wanted to get into some different modalities with healing. You got involved with the study of hypnosis, guided imagery, trained in medical acupuncture at UCLA. And then you decided you were going to also get a fellowship of integrative medicine at the University of Arizona under the direction of Dr. Andrew Weil. Now, you became the first medical director of the Tri-Health Hospital Integrative Health and Medicine Department in Cincinnati. And in 2004, you took on the role of medical director at the Canyon Ranch Health Resorts in Tucson. Now, Peggy Holt worked with you on this book, and she also is at the Canyon Ranch Health Resort. And the two of you really decided that you wanted to get a message out to people. Why did you choose Everest as a symbol for this book and for the information here?
Well, the Everest, the focus with this book and the focus that we've created here at Canyon Ranch is a peak performance. It's how can anybody in whatever state they're in, whether or not they have cardiac disease or whether or not they feel healthy or young, old, or whatever state they are, how can they maximize their health to the highest level? And so we wanted to figure out, if you're talking about peak performance in health and peak performance in life, what is the metaphor of peaks? And, of course, it's Everest. So if you're going to attain the peak of yourself, we wanted to use the metaphor of the peak performance of the Mount Everest to take yourself to the highest level you can attain. So that's really where it came from.
Now, the book has three parts in it. The first is, you call them three stages. And the first stage is training and preparation. The second stage is building a solid base camp and a support team. And stage three is the ascent. Now, any of us that have watched any programs regarding mountain climbers, or if someone has had the interview to had the opportunity to interview, as I have, professional climbers that have weathered the experience not just once, but maybe more than once, it's really quite daunting. Mount Everest is extremely challenging, and she's very demanding when it comes to creating her own weather and environments for people that want to challenge her, want to climb her. So I can see why you picked her as a metaphor, if you will, for this. Now, you have what you call trail markers throughout the book, and the very first one that you start with is setting a high but a realistic goal. Now, high and realistic, are they in conflict with each other? And if not, how can we do this?
Well, it's like let's take me for example. I used to play collegiate golf. I love playing golf, but I haven't played to the level of that I was in college. But if I decide, like, next year I want to really improve my game to the best I can improve it. Now, a realistic goal is being to the point that I can be competitive in golf and maybe some local events. Unrealistic goal is saying I want to go out and play in the U.S. Open, and that's just not realistic. And I think sometimes people pick goals that are so far out of reach they get really discouraged. Peggy Holt is my behavioral therapist who wrote a lot about that aspect in the book. She'll tell you, you know, if you put a goal out there so much that you can't attain, then we get discouraged. And we don't want to do that because anytime you're moving forward, you're moving up, we want to applaud that. We want to acknowledge that. We also think it's really important to, as you're doing your climb, to every once in a while turn around and see how far you've already climbed. So many times we put such unrealistic goals on our abilities. For example, I was just so struck at the Olympics when I remember watching the first American to win the gold, and she was standing at the podium, and everybody was talking about her, how proud they were, and she did a wonderful job. And then they showed the flags of the three people that won, you know, first, second, and third, and I realized an American came in third, and they didn't even talk about her. And then they showed a side angle view, and there was this girl who came in third, and she's smiling and brimming more than I think the person that won it, because she was so proud that she did the best she could do. And I was so excited, and I was so upset with the interviewers at the time that they didn't acknowledge that. But she was singing the national anthem and screaming it out and cheering more than I think the person that was winning it. And I think that's what we're trying to point out with. We want you to try to do the best you can and really be happy with it. And make sure that you're out there to do something, but not make it so unrealistic that you can't obtain it at all. And this is a girl that maybe third was a great goal for her.
Absolutely. I think that many times in life there is a feeling that is sent along to people, and this doesn't have any age level, but it's if you're not number one, then you're nothing. And
yes,
that's not the case.
We see it all the time, unfortunately, with our children in school and the soccer games, and we keep trying to excel and excel. My daughter was a very high-level ice skater, and she, you know, all she could see was, you know, she was skating at the time of Michelle Kwan, and if you aren't going to win a gold or you're not going to win the best, you feel like you feel inadequate. And we just kept saying, you know, Elizabeth, it's okay that you finish in the top five. It's okay if you finish in the top 10. And when she finally realized that, she started enjoying the sport so much more. It's very difficult. There's so much peer pressure about, you know, oh gosh, you didn't finish first. And I think a lot of the parents do that too. So we try, it's always, that was the main theme of this book. We want you to do the best you can, not be the best you can be, but not necessarily be the best. And I think that's really, really important.
I agree. And the reason I think it's so important is that every single person has skill sets. And what may be a skill set for one is not necessary for the other, but that does not invalidate the other individual. And when you strive to be the best you can possibly be, focusing on your strengths rather than your weaknesses, you're going to be a winner because you're going to be able to finish the race, so to speak. Not only are you going to start it, but you're going to be able to finish it, but you're going to do it in your own way. And I think that is so important. You bring out something in your book about dealing with the past, and then you also say we have to realize that as individuals, no one else but us can make sure that we have good health and well-being. And let's talk about that a bit, because that means personal responsibility, and I'm a very strong supporter of that.
I think it's really important to realize as a physician, and when you look at patients, that, you know, I'm very blessed working at Canyon Ranch now that I have a lot longer time to be with a patient, but I'm up to an hour to maybe an hour and a half with a patient. But before then, in most healthcare situations, I would have maybe a maximum of 15 minutes with a patient. And a lot of times doctors walk in, they get a first look, they get asked about one or two questions, and they come up with an answer. And I think it's really almost a disservice sometimes to the patient. It's not the doctor's fault because they're only limited with the amount of time, and I was in that scenario for over 25 years. But here you are as a patient, and you're living in your body 24/7, and nobody knows how you feel. Nobody knows what's going on better than you. So when you sit there, you need to walk in. For example, I always tell patients, walk in to the doctor with the three really important things that, that are important to you, and really focus on those things. Like one, two, three are really important, and not get scattered and away from there. And stress to that person, you know, I really don't feel well. I know my numbers and my lab studies look fine. I don't feel well. This is a big difference than what I've been feeling over the past 2 years. I've noticed in the past 1.5 to 2 months, I just don't have the energy I used to have before. So please take notice, and I know my body, and I know something's going on. So it's really important that you really stress that to the doctor so they will look beyond the lab studies sometimes, and maybe there's something else going on. So I totally agree with the patient advocacy on this. You just really have to stand up and say, there is something else going on here, and listen to me, please, doctor.
I agree. And another thing that you tell people is, in the book that you cover, is that we need to be able to be honest about our emotional situation. I received an email, I just put out a newsletter, and I received an email saying, gee whiz, the suggestions you put in your newsletter about dealing with frustrations and agitations, what would you do with emotional frustrations? And I said, you can't have a frustration without your mental emotional self being involved in that frustration. It's all part of the package, because when you're detached, then your emotions aren't going to lead you around by the nose. And it's amazing how people don't understand. They want to label things and isolate them when it's a total package deal that we're working with. And this is something that is part of your Everest principle. It's the medical, nutritional, fitness, and behavioral.
Yes. You can go to some of the famous bookstores and look under peak performance, and you'll find a great book on the medical aspect. You'll find another great book on the nutrition aspect. You'll find we may have the great book on terms of exercise, and they're all really important. They all really give added aspects, but it's really the behavioral piece. In addition to that, that you put it all these four things together to take yourself to this higher level, and I think that is the Everest principle that we're talking about. It's how can you combine all those aspects? Because I don't know, it's almost like having a four-legged table, and if you have three legs, that table is not going to be very stable. And I found this, and Peggy has found this both, in terms of looking at people for our combined 50 years in practice, that the people that excel in whichever area they want to do, they have to look at all four of those aspects to actually take themselves and be the most stable and be in the best position they can be. And the behavioral piece is really a backbone in a lot of this, that you need to not only pick your goal from initially to find out what you want to do and understand where you are. Am I an anxious person? Well, if I'm an anxious person, how can I deal with that in taking myself to my goal? Or if I'm basically an underlying depressed person, okay, I'm a little more depressed. I need to deal with that aspect, and let's move on. But you need to know who you are before you can move on. So the underlying basis in terms of emotionally is very important in taking you to this higher level.
Now let's talk about setting up your base camp. Thomas Edison, the quote you have right at the beginning of that, which I really, really like, it says, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Boy, is that the truth. It's so easy to drop back. In our world today, everything seems to be going at mega speed, but life has a way of kicking you in the teeth, in the pants, whatever description you want to use, and all of a sudden you're slowing down and you think, gee, I'm being passed by, it's not worth my doing this, I shouldn't invest in myself, why should I care how I look, my goodness, it's not worth it, I just am never going to get there. The Everest principle, when you're climbing the mountain, you have to realize you're going to have to take it a particular level at a time. That's why you set up base camps, because you can't just go straight up and straight down.
People that that sprint usually get tired very fast, and it's usually the people that, you know, that sit, look around, look what they've accomplished, move on, and doing it in a slow, methodical path. The classic one that I've seen in practice for years are people that are overweight and they suddenly, you know, I'm going to lose 30 or 40 pounds. And they'll take off like a racehorse, and they'll quit eating, they won't, you know, and they'll get on their stationary bike, and they'll ride for 2 hours, and they get exhausted, and they don't eat any food, and they're going to the most crash diet, and certainly within the first 2 weeks, they've lost 10 or 15 pounds, and they go, this is it. And they're so excited. And they think, well, this is simple, and I'm just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. If you look at the numbers, statistically, at those people that took off like a racehorse, a year later, they've actually ended up gaining a couple pounds or 5 pounds in the long run. And that sprint to suddenly think they're going to take care of their weight hasn't paid off. And it's the slow, methodical individuals, and we focus on that. And we've done this for many years here at Canyon Ranch, is that we focus on healthy eating, not sprint eating, healthy exercise, not sprint exercise, not making radical changes, but making slow, methodical changes. A year later, not just 6 months, well, even 2 months later, they have lost that weight, and they have a much higher incidence of being able to maintain weight loss down the road for those people that were methodical and moved in that pattern. So I totally agree with you. You know, you need to make sure it's a slow, methodical, what am I doing, what am I learning on the way, because otherwise you just kind of take off in this blind sprint, and you don't really learn something a lot of times. So we see this a lot.
Well, I think your comparison with Everest and the climbers is so absolutely well placed, because anybody that is in any kind of mountain climbing knows that you really have to take care of yourself physically. You have to practice over and over again. We have a neighbor who decided he wanted to climb Mount Rainier, which is in our backyard, so to speak, and he was astonished at how much preparation the coaching for climbing Mount Rainier put them through. And he said, this wasn't something, he said, it took me 6 months to prepare. And then I found that I was getting all excited. I loved the physical shape I was in. And then, ho, 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 here I'm up. I'm in one phase. And by golly, altitude sickness hits me. And it slows me down.
Yeah.
And he said, this is something that you really, you just, and he was in his 40s when he did it. And he said, you really have to understand the process behind it. And he said, everybody's different. He said, it used to irritate me no end. I'd see these women just skirting on ahead of me, and I'd go, oh, that's not fair. I'm the guy. I'm supposed to be better than the gals. But the truth is, all of us do things differently. And that was one of the
interesting things is that, you know, yes, you have to be in top form to and great physical shape to climb that mountain. But we have found out here, and that's what we've developed this peak performance program here at Canyon Ranch. And with the program, we found out that no matter what your endeavor is, being in the best physical shape makes you perform better, okay? And people go, well, I just have a desk job. If you have a desk job, if you're out doing physical activity, you have higher endorphins, you have more energy during the day, and it applies to whatever, not just having to be some major physical achievement like climbing Mount Rainier, but it's doing our daily jobs are a major piece in peak performing. So we encourage everybody to exercise, no matter what your individual goal is. I want to be the best CEO. Why would I have to exercise? Because if you are in great physical shape, you're going to, number one, decrease the incidence of having potential disease. Oh, gosh, I'm working for 10 years to become CEO of this corporation, and then I have a heart attack. That doesn't do you much good, or I have a cancer. And we've shown that, and tons of studies out there have shown those people that exercise decrease the incidence of heart disease, cancer by 50%, that's incredible numbers, diabetes, strokes by just being physically active. So not only are you performing better at the job you're doing, but you're also preventing yourself from so many diseases. So yes, that physical activity is important. And again, we'd like to look at these high-level athletes and what do we grasp from them? What do they tell us that we can all learn from that? So yeah, I'm very happy for your friend. Whether or not he made it to the top or not, the fact that he learned this process of exercise and what he needed to do is invaluable tools for the rest of his life.
No question about that, and I think that's very important. You talk about the mind-body connection in your book, The Everest Principle, which I think is very important. And sadly, very few physicians, because of what you mentioned earlier in our chat, have more than 15 minutes with a patient. And so frequently, there is a psychological patterning, an emotional patterning that creates problems in the body. And you talk about a man named Sam who came in to see you. He was in his 40s. He was having severe lower back pain. And you ask him some questions, and one that just really opened the door of information was the question, how are your finances? Tell us about Sam.
Sam was an interesting guy. Sam was a wonderful man who, the only time I would see him in the office was when he would come in, because I was a family physician by original trade, but the only time I would see him is when his children would have an ear infection or a sore throat, and I would always ask how he's doing. He said, fine, I've just run another marathon. And this is a person who looked in great shape, and he was in phenomenal shape. And he walked in the office one day and just struggled to come down the hallway, and the nurse had to help him in the room. And I looked at him, and I went, my gosh, what's going on? He said, my back is killing me. And I said, well, have you been trying to move furniture at home? He said, I haven't moved anything. And I said, well, are you doing triathlons now? Or are you riding a bicycle long term? He says, no, all I'm doing is running, and I don't understand it. And I looked at him, and I quizzed him, and I examined him, and I could not find any obvious signs of a disc disease. He just had a lot of muscle spasm in his lower back. And so my knowledge, and I'm not an expert by any stretch of the word, but when my knowledge of chakras, one of the second chakra has a lot to do with financing and family, and I knew his family situation was good, so I just out of nowhere said, gee, is there something going on financially in your life? And he just kind of dropped his mouth and just gave me this big glare. He said, why would you ask that question? I said, well, I can't understand why else you would be having lower back pain, but it makes some logical sense to me, and maybe I'll explain it to you later. But sometimes I see people with this specific kind of problem having low back pain, and he goes, I just found out yesterday I was being embezzled. And he went, so how did you go from me walking with low back pain to finances? I kind of explained to him there are certain energy levels in our body that are associated with different aspects of our lives. And I said, in that area of your back where you've been pointing to and complaining, it's got a lot to do with finances. And he said, he had a hard time comprehending it, but he finally went, it's the only thing I can understand too. And I saw him about a week later. The embezzlement was not as bad as he thought it was going to be. They didn't take as much money as they thought it was going to be. And it actually turned out, because he addressed it, he was able to get through it. And he said, you know, my back's really not hurting so much. I'm not really taking those anti-inflammatories anymore. So it was really a pretty profound statement to me of the effects of that mind-body approach.
I agree. You go into, with your associate author, Peggy, both of you cover so many different modalities so that we can achieve peak performance, mind, body, spirit, emotions. And this is very, very encompassing, because you're not isolated. You're isolating to a point of information, but you are integrating them. And you had a fascinating story in here about acupuncture and how you had a fall and you used acupuncture to implement a very rapid healing of your physical self. Can you share that story?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I'm the biggest critic on whatever I do, and I can read all the journals and read all the books about certain practices, but if I have an opportunity to experiment on myself, I will do that. If there is, and not that I'm out taking chemotherapeutic drugs or really strong heart medicine or taking narcotics to see if it really makes help with pain, but if there are certain things that I've done that if it works with me, I might consider using it on my patients. So I've been using acupuncture for several years. I studied at UCLA in 1999. And I've been using it for 10 years, and anytime I get an opportunity to see another aspect of where maybe acupuncture might help, I'll try it, and if it works on me, I'll consider using it on my patients, even though I may read that it's helpful. I will consider using it. Well, I was out running one day, and I don't know which one. I wrote several in the book. Is this about my ankle or the one I fell down and was actually knocked almost unconscious? I think that's
that one, the second one, where you were knocked almost unconscious.
The one you want to talk about, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that one is kind of interesting because I'm from Ohio where they have just nothing but corn and cows, and I wasn't used to these things called coyotes. And I was out running really early before the sun came up, and I was running along this dry riverbed, and all at once I started hearing a couple coyotes, and then I started hearing more coyotes. And all at once I realized there was a pack of coyotes, and even though I kept saying, I know I'm not in their food chain, I think they're coming closer and closer to me. And so I took off running across a path that I didn't know. I actually hit this wire across the ground, flipped into the air, and hit myself face first into this area of gravel, and literally knocked myself out. When I woke up, I had really injured my face. I had cut myself in multiple places. I went back home and looked in my mirror, and there my face was kind of bludgeoned, and I had all these rocks and everything. It was not a pretty picture. But I thought, gosh, how fast can acupuncture help healing? And so I put multiple needles in me, and I just still to this day I can't believe it, because I had several areas that probably could have used stitches, but I said, it was kind of on the borderline, I won't do that. Within 5 days, my bruising was all down to one little spot, and all the areas of my cuts were 95% healed, and I was just blown away by the efficacy in terms of acupuncture and healing. I've used it for many years for my athletes. I have used it in terms of treating a lot of tendonitis. I've used it on myself and my athletes. I've used it to treat things like gouty arthritis instead of taking some of the strong medications. And I'm amazed at how acupuncture not only helps decrease pain, but it actually facilitates healing, which a lot of people don't understand. They see acupuncture as this pain reliever, but what's it going to do about the real problem? It speeds it up. I think in my personal experience of using it for the past 10 years, with injuries and problems, I think it speeds up healing like almost 50%. Whereas I've seen people that have had the similar types of cuts and bruising that I had would have taken them 2 or 3 weeks before all the bruising would go away, because the face has so much vasculature. It heals well, but it also bruises very easily. And usually I would have had 2 black eyes for a prolonged period of time. I was very worried about that because I had multiple lectures in the next 2 weeks, but I was able to.
Can you imagine if you had 2 black eyes while standing up at the podium? Oh, I love that image.
Yeah, I don't think they would have said, yeah, this is a real peak performer. Yeah, I would have been not too great. But yes, but I did it for as much for professional survival as I did for anything. So it was really kind of interesting. And it was great because we have a weekly peak performance group meeting at Canyon Ranch. And the first morning I walked in there, and they kind of turned their heads because it was the morning of our lecture. And the following week, they all went, are you the same person? And they couldn't believe how well it had healed. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. So I use acupuncture, and I think we talk about in the book, utilization of alternative therapies to take you to a higher level. And we only use those forms of alternative therapies that have been shown to be effective. That's what integrative medicine is all about, looking at those forms of alternative therapies that have a good background of studies done for it and shown that they've been effective. But we have no problem utilizing it. I've used it for many things. I've used it for the reason I really kind of got into acupuncture and a lot of alternative therapies in the first place. So I had a lot of disease processes that I had a very difficult time treating. One was, for example, a syndrome called fibromyalgia. And until I realized that fibromyalgia was more of an, I know this sounds weird, kind of unusual, but I feel it's more of an energetic disease than it is actually anything you can find pathologically. And when I finally came to the realization fibromyalgia is an energetic disease where you get a backup of your energy pathways, I was finally able to treat it with acupuncture.
Well, Dr. Brewer, you have got so much information. The Everest Principle, how to achieve the summit of your life. This is dealing with mind, body, spirits, and emotion, spirit and emotion of the self. And I think that it's a very useful tool. And I'm so glad that we have been able to chat today because I think you've given so many very positive points of information. Now, for those of you that would like to find out more about the book, go to hayhouse.com. Hayhouse.com. Look up the Everest Principle. Stephen C. Brewer, he's a physician. He is the medical director of Canyon Ranch Health Resort. And Peggy Holt Wagner put this book together. She's a behavioral therapist at the Canyon Ranch Health Resort. Doctor, I want to thank you so much for being with me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me to be on.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget the Everest Principle. Reach your peak performance, and you will have a good tool to use by reading this book. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. 400 exhibits, free samples, and best of all, shopping with fabulous women's show specials. Meet Amy Roloff from Little People Big World and cosmetic cop Paula Begon. Bring your questions to Hollywood celebrity stylist and creator of Wynn Hair Care Products, Chaz Dean. Make it a point to attend our free seminars and be inspired by topics that can change your life, like channeling your inner strength, weight loss strategies, and women's self-defense, plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney. And backed by popular demand, Seattle's hottest firefighters, favorite authors Ann Rule and J.A. Jantz, The Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, March 5th through 7th at Quest Field Event Center, sponsored by Bartell Drugs, American Family Insurance, Puget Sound Energy, Snoqualmie Casino, The Seattle Times, and King 5. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I'm here for you to do that. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I am so pleased. I'm getting emails from those of you who have gotten my newsletter, who are listening to the show, sharing your stories about the paranormal. My file is beginning to get fuller and fuller. I'm aiming for 100 stories about the paranormal. It could be about a ghost experience, anything that for you was really something that had made a difference in your life, whether it's talking about an angel, whether it's having a very vivid dream that came true for you. It doesn't make any difference. I want to hear your story. I'll tell you why. I'm putting this book together because I want people to know that they are not alone. And your story is your story. And by sharing it, you may be able to help someone else step away from an attitude of fear, perhaps even ignorance, regarding the capacities of the mind and the spirit to be able to affect our lives in a positive way. So I would like for you to be able to send me the story. Send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. Or if you want, you can send it to me by snail mail. Send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that's P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. So either way, that is going to be the way to get in touch with me. And if you send me an email, please put in the subject line, the Donna Sebo Show. Put something in there that says story, anything that you want, because I get so many emails. If you do that, and maybe click that little red exclamation point, that marker that says this is a significant message, that'll draw my eye to it, because sometimes I'm on just taking care of emails. It takes me a couple of hours, sometimes a day, to go through. So I really would appreciate it if you could make some notation in the subject line so that I know that this is a story and it's for, you know, for the book, or however you want to title it. That way I have that special awareness that this is a story. I'm just getting wonderful stories from people, and I so appreciate you and your sharing it. Also, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, yes, the Women's Show, you've just heard the ad. That is going to be coming up. It is going to be happening Friday. I can hardly believe it's just 2 days away, and the action is going to be rocking and rolling. Now, I'm going to be in booth number 407. On Friday, March the 5th, I have 6 dynamic women that have come together to be a part of a forum that I'm going to be presenting at the Women's Show from 1 until 4. The first hour is going to be about money and financial protection. The second hour is going to be about healing, energy healing. Oh, we have some wonderful speakers here. And then on the third hour, we're going to be talking, or during the third hour, I should say, we're going to be talking about animals and their wellness. So it's just going to be so amazing. It's going to be going a mile a minute, and I'm just delighted to have the opportunity to present this. So if you are going to be heading out this weekend, also know that on Saturday and Sunday at 11:30, I'll be talking about your inner psychic mirror, and that is what my topic is going to be, and I hope you'll stop by when you're perusing and cruising through the Women's Show. It is so much fun. And go to their website to get the map, to get all of the information that you need regarding tickets, hours, etc. Go to the Northwest Women's Show, and that's nwwomensshow.com, and it's all there for you. What an event. Over 40,000 women turn out for this. I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it again this year. It is exciting, and it's just so much fun. So carpool with your friends and come on into Seattle at the Quest Convention Center. That's where it's going to be. Plenty of parking. Wonderful, wonderful event. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Are you a person that likes to have something light to eat but flavorful? Well, I have a recipe here. It's sort of like a pizza, but not quite, but I guess you could call it a type of pizza. But I wanted to share it with you because it's so easy to make. And if you're in a rush, if you're like me, it's like cooking a regular meal sometimes. Who wants to do it? Put together something fast and easy that's nutritious as well as tasty. Well, I think this is one that fits the bill. Smoked salmon wedges. So have a pad of paper and a pen. It's real, real easy, and I'll be sharing that with you in just a little bit. You know, when I was talking to Dr. Brewer, there was a section in his book, and we sort of ran out of time, but I wanted to share this because I think it's significant. We were talking about how when you want to do your peak performance, if you really want to have yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually in prime condition, I really liked the tips that he had. He said, if you feel like you need to lose weight, great. Go and find that pattern that works for you, whatever it is, and then give yourself the time. Don't try to make it an absolute, like in 3 or 4 months. You know, you see all these headlines in different places that if you're going to lose weight, wow, in 6 weeks you're going to lose 750 pounds. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. However, if you do adopt a different food lifestyle, like you said, it's going to be easier for you. And he said, keeping track of what you consume, if this is an objective of yours, if it's not, then you don't need to worry about this. And he said, when you have a goal or you have an idea of what your objective is, again, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, or all of the above, he said, you need to utilize visualization, a photo or a picture of what that goal will look like to you when you attain it, and put it someplace where you can see it frequently. Repetition is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have in your life because you want to reinforce what it is that you want. You don't want to focus on what you don't want. You want to focus on what you do want. And you want to be able to be mindfully present with what goes through your head. And I really liked one suggestion he had. He said, imagine that you have a video camera constantly focused on you, broadcasting images of your actions to the people you most care about. Now, to me, that is significant, because if you were to have that kind of attitude, you'd be more attentive to how you dressed, you'd be more aware that what you say makes a difference, you would be really present with where you are because you want to present yourself in the best way possible. Now, stop and think about that. That is a significant concept. Because if you have that attitude, then you're going to be more mindful about yourself. You're going to say, how do I want to be perceived? What is it that I want to demonstrate? What example do I want to be? And don't be afraid to be in a little bit of competition with yourself or if there is someone you admire that, you know, it's like Lance Armstrong. He's on that bike, and he went into competition with cancer. He was supposed to be down for the count, and he said, I don't think so. That's not the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to be on my bike, and I'm going to win, and he did. And we all have Lance Armstrong chromosomes in ourselves, and I know you're going to say, Donna, get real here. We're not related to him. Yes, you are. You're a human being. And within you, there is a script. Within you, there is that script that says, you've been endowed with talents, and you're going to be able to be a champion in your own right. So a little bit of competition with yourself is really a good thing. And, you know, most of the champions, when you talk with them, the really good ones, the ones they're not there for the flash in the pan, but the real sincere competitive winners are those that they say, I'm competing with myself. I'm competing with myself. I can't focus on anybody else. It's on me. And the coaches do the same thing. This is Donna. We're going to take our first call. And if you want to call in, 888-815-9756. Hi, this is Donna.
Hi, Donna. This is Frank.
Hi, Frank. Where are you calling in from?
New York. Long Island, New York.
Long Island. Hey, I think you called in once before.
Yes, I did.
Well, that's terrific.
You told me about the Tai Chi guy. I mean, not Tai Chi, Qigong.
Qigong, yes, Master Lin.
Master Lin.
Very. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Frank, we're going to be going on a break for just a moment. Will you stay on the line?
Sure.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back talking with Frank in Long Island, New York. And if you want to call in, too, it's 888-815-9756. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Frank, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir. Did you have a question for me, or did you want me to do a spontaneous for you?
Well, sort of for my cousin. My cousin's in sort of a bad place right now. He's
okay.
Lost his job for a while, and he keeps going from job to job that is all commission and it doesn't pay him. And things are just getting really bad now, where he used some of his father's money without his permission, and there's trust issues, and he's basically down on his luck. And I heard of this thing called the Gentle Way. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yes. In fact, Tom Moore was on my program yesterday.
Oh, okay. That's where I got it from.
Yes.
So I told him about that, and I told him, look, I know you don't believe in any of the stuff that I'm telling you, but just try this. And he said that he'll try it, but, you know, if you try it with doubt, I don't know if it still works. But I was wondering if you have anything that you could tell me, if there's, like, any messages from anybody.
Sure, I'd be glad to. What's his first name or initial?
His name is Robert J.
Okay. With Robert, the challenge that is hitting him is that he's being forced to expand his boundaries. And Robert has not had what I would call a lot of real support when it comes from within himself about what he really wants to do. He is focusing, rightly so, I've been there, everybody goes through it at some time or another, on what he doesn't have. And what he really needs to do is understand one of the challenges that's facing him right now, and he needs to look it square in the eye, is that he's not going to be able to do things the way he's done it for the past 10 years. He's going to need to change his thinking. And he bought into a particular process of thinking many, many, many years ago. And it's like someone being taken out of 1910 and being put into 2010. And they go through a cultural shock. They'd go through a time shock. they go, I don't understand computers, I don't know about this, I don't know about that or the other. What I would recommend for him is that he needs to, first of all, realize that the working environments that he is touching into, he really doesn't want to be a part of them. In all truthfulness, he doesn't. But he's scared. So I would like to see him go to a local junior college or, you know, a four-year university that's close by and go in and do some aptitude testing. And this he can do. It doesn't cost very much money, but he needs to get himself grounded so he starts to get his thinking together. If he does the aptitude testing and looks at his strongest areas of interest, then he will find that there will be those venues that he needs to explore. For example, let's say he had been in construction work, and he's trying construction work, and it's in the toilet in his neighborhood, and it's just not working, and so he says, I don't know what to do. Well, maybe he's got a creative side to himself that he has never nurtured, and maybe being a landscape designer would be something that would be absolutely fabulous for him, and he's going to have to take some courses, but maybe he could apprentice himself out to someone in that environment, putting him out of doors where he's not sitting behind a desk, where he's going to be able to be active. Now, I'm using that as an example. Right. His construction background he would have had would carry right over into that with certain disciplinary applications and knowledge of materials. So
he was a waiter and a maitre d' for like 15 years.
All right. So there are, if he was a waiter and a maitre d', he obviously likes people. So right there, you've got a people orientation, a social orientation. But that may not be where he wants to stay at this time. So that's why I'm encouraging the aptitude testing. It has nothing to do with IQ. It has to do with aptitude.
Wait, I know what it is.
So that for him is going to be important because it will reach him where he can look at things differently, but he's afraid to break the paradigms that he has accepted in his life for so many years. He's scared.
Yeah.
And if you were in his shoes, and if you were his personality, you'd feel the same way.
Well, I was in a similar situation a few years ago. I lost my job, my fiance, my house.
Mm-hmm.
I had so much, I thought I was going to live on the street. But
it's a scary place.
Yeah. And I feel that that's where he's at now. And being that he's lied to his parents before and he took some of his father's money, and now there's like a trust problem, and it's almost like his father's backing him into a corner, and he's feeling trapped, and he's helped
yes,
a lot
but he
of people.
Has,
in this
yeah, I know. But Frank, you're not his mother. This is an adult we're talking about. He's got to break through his own fears. This is part of becoming an adult. He is discovering that as a man, as an individual, he's not grown up. So he's right here at this apex, and he needs to pay attention.
He told me about 2 weeks ago, he goes, you know when you're a kid and the teacher asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up? He's like, I was never able to answer that question.
Not many kids can. That tells you he hasn't grown up.
Yeah.
That's where the aptitude testing could really help him.
And that'll shift his thinking into thinking of what he'd be good at.
Yes.
Okay.
And thereby supporting him in the right way. It'll also enable him to detach from the childlike part of himself that has not wanted to let go. And it's time for him to grow up and to assume his position as a man. So he has his own self-respect. It's a do-it-yourself job. There's no shortcuts.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in, Frank.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
You are more than welcome, and I wish you the best.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I know that we're just about out of time. Ooh, I've got to tell you who we are going to have on tomorrow. It's Glenn Boyer. His book is called Where the Heart Was. This is a novel, and it is marvelous, absolutely marvelous. We're going to be stepping back in time, and I think you're going to enjoy the journey. And, of course, on Friday, we're going to be doing a Best of Donna because I'm going to be at the Northwest Women's Show. I wish I could be in two places at once, but it just doesn't work out very well. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, so if you come up with any ideas, let me know. But meanwhile, we're going to have a show for you anyway, and you're going to enjoy it, I know. And then I'll be back with you on Monday live here at BBS. But tomorrow, Glenn Boyer, Where the Heart Was. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent evening or day wherever you are, and blessings abundantly to you. Let your light shine. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.